Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. We'll read verses 11 through 16 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. Second Chronicles chapter 30 verses 11 through 16. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. There assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away, and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed, and sanctified themselves, and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood, which they received at the hand of the Levites. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Father, thank you that when we come, it's just a family getting together. We get to gather around your word and feast on it and hear it taught, hear it sung about. We get to read it aloud together. What a wonderful thing it is. And Father, please be with our church. This week we become an example church to literally scores and hundreds of churches around this country. A lot of times we don't feel worthy of that, but we must step up because that is what you have for us. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. May we listen carefully and with the Holy Spirit upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read one verse out of the passage of Scripture that you read collectively. I want to read it again to you if I can. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Also in Judah the hand of God was to give them one heart to the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord." I want to talk to you about this. I have somewhat traditionally a service or two before the East Coast Ladies Conference each year, taking a moment to make sure we're on track and we're thinking right about the upcoming conference. So a little bit tonight, we're going to have a meeting in the locker room, and we're going to talk about the game plan, and that'll make sure that we do things just the way the Lord would have them to be done. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, we see a story taking place, and that story is taking place when a man by the name of Hezekiah is the king. In verse number 1, had we read it, though you did not, I have, and you'll find in verse number 1, Hezekiah sends out letters to many, many groups of people, inviting them to come to Jerusalem. Now, the Bible actually says, somewhere around verse 4, 5, or 6, that he has postmen deliver them. He's inviting all of them to come to Jerusalem for a big meeting. It's a central meeting place. Hezekiah wanted all these groups of people to experience revival. He wanted them to be encouraged. He wanted them to be challenged. And Hezekiah there would host what they call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, we're not going to get into what that's really all about, but what I see happening here, there's a king. The king said to many different groups of people across the land, "We invite you to come to our home base, if you will, and we are going to have what's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We want you to come. When you come, we're going to help you. We want to help you." Now, this feast, it was a spiritual feast. It was a spiritual gathering. They may have food and singing. There would be a spiritual sacrifice and spiritual preaching or teaching that would go on, somewhat like the East Coast Ladies Conference. We sent out letters to groups of people across the country. We invited them to come to our home base. It is our goal to serve them. We're going to have, they'll have a little fun, they'll have some singing, they'll learn about spiritual sacrifice, and there'll be spiritual teaching that will take place. We gave these letters and invitations to the postman, and he delivered them, and now people are on their way. Now, the verses that we read together, starting with verse number 11, the Bible says, these groups of people that Hezekiah had invited to be a part of this feast, the Bible says that these people humbled themselves and chose to come to Jerusalem and to respond to the invitation. Let me tell you something. You know, all the churches out there that come and attend the East Coast Ladies Conference, here's what they've done. They have humbled themselves and they have said, we'll go to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We'll humbly go there and we'll let those people help us and teach us and train us. It's an honor to know that last year there were 110 churches that came. Our last numbers in regard to registration for this year are higher than last year's. And now I don't know how many will come this year, but I can tell you this. Every church that comes, somebody has humbled themselves and said, we're going to go there, we're going to submit ourselves to Brother Owens, Mrs. Owens, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and let them help us, and let them teach us, and train us. That's exactly what happened here at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. In verse number 12, the Bible says that God gave them one heart for this meeting. You read it earlier. You read it with Brother Bush, then I read verse number 12 to you again. That means two things. That means the people that planned the meeting, in our case, the local New Testament assembly, all the people were of one heart. They were one unit. They had pulled together to make this thing happen. Then secondly, it also means that the people that came in from outside, they joined a group that was of one heart, and they all became of one heart for this meeting. And if you've ever been to an East Coast Ladies Conference, it's almost as if all 110 churches become one church for about 24 hours, and we become one big happy family, and everybody's helped. Everybody sings together, everybody laughs together, everybody cries together, everybody eats together. And so the Bible says what happened at this time, a bunch of people humbly pulled together. They were of one heart. The Bible says that in verse number 13, they assembled. There was many that assembled, but in one place. Again, exactly what happens here. Last year, nearly 1,200 people, 110 churches. By the time we get to verse 14, the Bible teaches that they had revival. The Bible says there were some altars set up, and these were wrong altars. They were worshiping some wrong things. Said that they got fired up for God, and they take those false altars, they broke them down, and actually they threw them in a river. They took them out and threw them in the brook Kedron. What happened? They got revival. They got some things right. And then, in verse number 15, it says, then they killed the Passover lamb. In other words, they exalted Jesus Christ. They were looking to Jesus Christ coming. You see, I think it's John 1:29 where John said, behold, speaking of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Back then, they would sacrifice a lamb, and it was a way to exalt the coming Messiah, or our Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So what happened here? Jesus is lifted up. And then, the Bible says in verse 16, they all stood in their place. In other words, everybody was where they were supposed to be, when they were supposed to be there, and revival breaks out as a result of this. So here's what happened. There was humility involved. The people had pulled together with one heart. Many people began to gather in one place. Everybody stood in their place and did what they were supposed to do. And the next thing you know, they're tossing out the bad in life, bringing in the good, Jesus is exalted, and revival breaks out. And you know something, folks? I would love nothing better than that every church that visits the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church takes home a big old chunk of this church's spirit, excitement, and zeal. Wouldn't it be something if there were 110 Shenandoah Bible Baptist Churches all over this part of the United States of America? Now, the East Coast Ladies Conference is upon us. I want to talk to you. I'm going to be very practical. We're having a team meeting, if you will, and I want to talk to you about it, and I want to help us to make sure that our conference goes well and that we do it the right way. Let me say this, first of all. Everybody can do something. You say, how so, Brother Owens? You can pray. You can pray. We need everybody to pray. You say, what kind of thing should I pray? Why don't you pray for the safety of the people that are coming to us? Pray for the health of our people. We have some people that are awful tired right now. They've been working very, very hard. So you pray for the health of our folks. You pray, hey, pray that the Holy Spirit have His will and His way in all the meetings. Pray for the speakers, that God would help them. Pray that everything would just work out just as planned. So everybody can do something. You can pray. Hey, I think we better keep a humble spirit about it. When you go back to the story of Hezekiah, the people had a humble spirit. They did not become arrogant. Listen, I don't want people to come and visit our conference and for us to make them feel like they're little or they're unimportant or we're the big dog on the block and you're nothing but a peon. I don't want anybody to feel that way. We're a bunch of local, independent, fundamental Baptist churches and they happen to visit us for this conference and they're going to be our honored guests and they're going to be treated like royalty, not like a bunch of people that are a second thought for us. No, these are our guests. We're going to honor them. And so everybody can keep a humble spirit about it. Everybody could do something. You can help us set up a tent tomorrow morning at 7:30, men. We have a bunch of men helping Brother Doss care for the nurseries during this thing. And we've got men helping Brother Bush care for meals. And Brother Butch Berman, again this evening, I watched him. He was out walking the grounds, getting ready to do the extra trimming and mowing and all of that. He said, Preacher, we'll get everything done that we can. Look, you got some extra time. You see, Brother Butch, we could use your help. Now listen, I say everybody can do something. Do us a favor. Don't be offended if for some reason you didn't get some specific assigned task. You were not overlooked on purpose. You said, but the ones I helped with thus and so last year, and nobody's asked me this year. Well, believe me, we didn't try to leave you out. Everybody's busy. Everybody's trying to get things done. You say, nobody asked me to do anything. Now, I am tonight, but you say, I just wasn't asked to do anything. Well, we don't hate you. We didn't all call a big meeting and say, that woman right there, let's not give her anything to do. Let's run her in the ground. Let's make her feel bad. We all hate her. Let's take her picture and stomp on it during this meeting. That didn't happen. Okay? That didn't happen. Don't wear your feelings on your cuff. Men, help keep the bus routes strong next weekend as our ladies will be busy. Men, be in the men's prayer meeting at 7 o'clock and be ready to pray. Hey, everybody can do something and we need your help. Number two, let's be of one heart about it. Just like this Old Testament story from 2 Chronicles. When you all go to setting up that big tent tomorrow, be a team. Work together. When you come in here to decorate, be of one heart. Work together. When it comes time for getting the grounds ready, be a team. Work together. When you men, and I'll tell you, we've got a group of men that prepare 1,200 or however many sandwiches and full meals. They start early Saturday morning, and they really crank out the grub. And it takes teamwork. But men, do work together. Work together. Plan on being a team. Husbands, help your wife all you can. Some of you will be watching the children and make it good and easy for her so she can get involved and so she can attend this thing. But I think number one, everybody can do something. If nothing else, you can pray. But number two, we can be of one heart. Number three, here's what we could do. We could all be servants. I wish we could get everybody in Christianity to develop this attitude. There's no task that is below me. Whatever you give me to do, I'm glad to do it. I just want to serve God. Boy, I wish we could get everybody to have that attitude. You say, well, I come up on the other side of the tracks. Well, come over here on the poor side of the tracks and serve God humbly like a bunch of poor people that owe everything to God. we get, there's an arrogance as well. If I can't have the leadership role, I'm just not going to do anything. That's wrong. That is wrong. When you get to heaven, you are going to be humbled very quickly because you aren't going to be in charge. God is. And God's just going, when we get to heaven, He's going to be looking for people that just have servant's hearts and they just want to serve. So if we at all just keep this attitude, I'm just here to serve. If you give me something, I'd be glad to do it. Serve one another. Try to take the pressure off of one another. Boy, you see someone and they've got a task and they're struggling to get it done, don't be afraid to say, could I be a help? And then when they say, no, I think I have it cared for, don't get the idea that they hate your guts and that they despise you and they rejected you. No, just simply go on and thank God that you have a chance to be a part of a church that's busy and serving God. And remember, I always want to keep this attitude before us. When other churches come here for conferences, our goal is to serve them. I want to serve them. I want to be good to them. I want to meet their needs. We are not bringing them here to get anything out of them. We're bringing them here to give to them and to be good to them and to meet their needs. That's what the Christian life is all about. Number four, be flexible. Be flexible. Now, we are well organized, I promise you. Thousands of hours have gone into organizing this conference. It is very tediously organized, but there are emergencies, there are little shifts in the schedule, and you just have to learn to be flexible. Have a good attitude. I mean, if something has to change, you just need to go with the flow. You need to be willing to say, you know what, that's okay. I'll fix that. That's okay. I can deal with that. Don't live on the edge with all that tenseness. Enjoy serving God and just be flexible. Number five, all the ladies that are here from our church, all of you that attend the conference, you are all officially recruited this evening to be greeters. Every one of you. These people are coming to visit our church. Let's not separate the conference and our church. They're coming to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Now, what would we do if it were a Sunday morning and a big old truckload of visitors were to show up? We'd greet them. We'd shake hands with them. We'd be kind to them. We'd be friendly. We'd introduce ourselves. Ladies, get around and shake those hands and greet people and say hi. I'm from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We sure are pleased to have you. If you would do that, it will set the pace for the right kind of spirit and attitude at our conference. Men, you men that are on the property helping, I know it's a ladies' conference, but when you're passing through, be friendly. Be kind. You men that work out here, and we'll have all sorts of parking lot attendants, and there'll be men everywhere behind the scenes doing things. And I say, men, be kind, be friendly, be helpful. Take the time to say howdy and to greet people and to be good to them. I love this. Last year, there were some ladies who took it upon themselves. They came to the conference. I'm talking about our ladies. They'd gone out and bought some penny candy. They had bags full of it, just walking around and saying, hi, I'm from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Can I give you a mint? Can I give you a piece of candy? I thought that was just fantastic. We didn't tell them to. We didn't recruit them to. But they were setting a spirit, and they were doing what they could to make it a great meeting. Number six, I want us to be first class. Anybody that's helping us with the conference, you know this. I believe if we're going to do something for God, it ought to be done right. I want to tell you a quick story. I was a young man living in central Indiana, and a man came to preach at my church. His name was Dr. Don Camp. Dr. Don Camp was pastoring one of the largest churches in the state of Indiana. At that time, it wouldn't have been as large as Brother Hiles' church, but it would have been one of the large churches in Indiana. Dr. Don Camp was pastoring in a city called Anderson, Indiana, and had a church running many hundreds, I think near 1,000, which would have been a very large church. Dr. Don Camp gave a little illustration. He talked about how when he went off to Bible college at Bob Jones University, way back when Bob Jones University would have been like us and when Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was alive, and Dr. Don Camp, as a teenage boy, about 18 years of age, got out of high school and went to Bob Jones University to go to Bible school. They had what they called a work scholarship program. That meant that he could earn his tuition by working for the college. And he got in line and outside a dean's office, and the dean assigned him a task to work for the college, but it was cleaning the restrooms. Dr. Don Camp said, "I turned after the dean said to me, 'You will be in charge of the restrooms in a certain part of the campus.'" Dr. Don Camp, as he's giving this illustration, turned, stormed out of the dean's office, could not believe it. So I can't believe it. Can't believe they would give me the job of cleaning the restroom. Don't they know? I'm a preacher boy. So a preacher. I didn't come here to get trained to clean a restroom. He said he went down to do this duty he was given. He said he'd slop the water around. He'd clean up a little bit. Said he knew he wasn't doing a good job. Said every day that he'd go down to clean his restrooms like he was supposed to, that he would not put his heart into it. He hated it. He despised it. Everybody knew he had a bad attitude. He said he would leave them half dirty. He said it was my heart's desire that they fired me from that job because I didn't want that job. Then he said he was sitting in college chapel one day, and a speaker got up and said, "Everything that you do, you are to do for Jesus. So everything that you touch, everything that you do in the service of this church ought to be done as if you're doing it for Jesus Christ." Don Camp, as he's giving this illustration at my church, and I'm listening to it as a teenage boy, Dr. Don Camp said, "I got under such conviction." He said, "I sat there in my pew as this man was preaching chapel." He said, "I began to sweat." He said, "I began to realize I'd had such a raunchy attitude." He said, "I began to realize that there I was making a mess." He said, the restrooms were often dirtier when I got finished with them than what they were when I went into them. And it was my job to clean them. He said, "I got under such conviction." He said, I went to my dorm room. He said, "I got on my face by my bed." He said, "I begged God to forgive me." He said, "And then I went to clean my restrooms." He said, "That day when I got done with that restroom, you could have eaten off the floor." He said, "It shined." He said, "I was only supposed to spend a couple of hours working on the given restroom." He said, "I put 4 hours in." He said, "I fixed it." He said, "At graduation time, he met Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and Dr. Bob said, 'Don, could I talk to you for a second?' Brother Camp said, as a graduating senior, scared to death, Dr. Bob Jones wanted to talk to me for a second. Dr. Bob said, 'Young man, I think you caught what the ministry is really all about.' He said, 'I've seen your restrooms.' He said, 'I believe you'll build a big church someday. If you will put your heart into your church like you've put your heart into cleaning that restroom, you'll do something great for God.' I heard Dr. Don Camp tell that story when I was a teenage boy as he was pastoring a church of nearly 1,000.
Yes, sir.
Everything you do in this place ought to be done for Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Everything. Whatever it is, you're doing it for Jesus Christ. Let's be first class. Number 7, let's be at our best. Speakers prepare well, but let me tell you something. You can be an excellent public speaker, but if you do it without the Holy Spirit, you're just another voice in the wind. But let's prepare. Music, practice, be well rehearsed. Skits, everything. And let's have our best attitudes on. Hey, every lady here, why don't you be submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit so when you walk into this meeting, you're already in submission to the Holy Spirit and you add to the Spirit. Let me mention this. All of our teenage girls, when you come with the right attitude. You can walk into a church and just about tell what shape the church is in by looking at the teenagers. That's all you got to do. You can tell what kind of spirit they have. What a school is reflected by its students. What a church is reflected by the young people in that church. And I thank God we have some well-behaved teenagers. And I thank God for that. But teenage girls, let's not have a whole bunch of people come here and visit and watch you goofing off in the service and playing and sitting in the back and avoiding the services. If you want to be like that, just stay home. But you ought not stay home. You ought to come here and be a contributor.
Yeah.
number next, be on time. If everybody here will just be on time for the different elements within the conference, we'll be fine. Number 9, be willing to sacrifice some. Some here will be sitting in a ladies' session while we're having an adult session in here. I'm sorry, some will be sitting in a children's session while some will be sitting in an adult session in here. You'll miss something. While you're working with the little girls, you may miss something in the adult session. And may I say, there'll be some that will be sitting in the adult session that will miss something in the little girl session. We have arranged that Mrs. Hiles will be speaking in both this year. So you'll hear Mrs. Hiles either way. But let me say, there's going to be some sacrifice involved. And though the conference is for you, one of your contributions is serving other people. And so you just be willing to sacrifice some time, and many have, and some money, and many have. You may end up missing a meal somewhere along the way. You know, from best that I can tell, if you missed a meal, you won't die. How many of you have ever missed a meal before? Will you raise your hand? Chuck Little, he's not raising his hand. Chuck, I'm worried about Chuck. See, Chuck is going to Malawi. And I told Chuck earlier, I said, buddy, I've seen the other people going with you. If you go into a tribe of cannibals, you're the first one going down, man. Chuck's a big guy. But Chuck said, I ain't worried about that. He said, all I got to do is drop Shannaburger and they can eat him and I'll run. So you better watch your back, man. He's already figured if they're coming out to eat somebody, he's going to knock you out, and he's running for the hills. But, Chuck, I don't think it'll make any difference. They'll still catch you. But be willing to sacrifice. If you happen to miss a meal, please don't get upset about that. It'll all turn out fine, and God's keeping track in heaven. Number 10, be considerate of our staff. Understand, they're busy. They have a lot going. Unless you have ran a conference hosting over 100 churches and feeding well over 1,000 people and having a first-class program for all those people, unless you've done something like that, you don't understand. And do you realize most of the conference is ran by volunteers?
Right.
Now, leading paid people and leading volunteers are two totally different animals. And most of this conference is running by volunteer work. So please be patient. Be patient with our staff. Number next, be an encourager. Be a praiser. As you all work together, thank one another. Praise one another. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying thank you. Or please. Or, hey, you did a good job on that. Hey, that's good. Hey, that's great. Wonderful. Say, you're welcome. A little bit of that will go a long way. Now listen, I've been around conferences, I've been around churches, where somehow we lose the Christian graces. Somehow we're angry and we have a lack of patience. Oh no, let's not do that. Let's not make this something that we endure, let's make it something that we enjoy. Number next, let's get everything ready for our visitors. I'm talking about we're working on the grounds. Let's make sure our restrooms and the hallways are in top shape and the buildings are in top shape. Hey, and when you come looking your best. Come here looking your best. Come with a good attitude, looking sharp, ready to go to church. Number 13, at the conference, ladies, we need you to make sure you participate, and I have no doubt that you will. I want you to sing. You heard the theme song. We're going to teach it to you some more on Wednesday night. But sing and laugh. And when it's time to stand, you stand. I'll tell you something. I get so irritated at conferences. I'm going to tell you one of my pet peeves. I'll be sitting on a platform somewhere, and maybe they honor someone at a conference. And then, so a bunch of people give a standing ovation to that someone. And then you got one little group of people sitting back here that they're almost rude. They just sit there. They're not going to get up. I don't understand that. Now, if we were about to honor, you know, if you went to some conference somewhere and they wanted to honor some preacher that doesn't preach the King James Bible, probably maybe you ought to sit down.
Yeah, right.
But that sort of thing is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just people being rude. So, you know, you may have to work your way up. You say, well, the ones I can get up really slow. But that's all right. As long as you can get it up about the time everybody else is putting it down, getting it down is going to be easier than getting it up. But you ought to try to pick it up. But participate. and sing and smile. Oh, and please, ladies, attend the conference. Attend the conference. You have an opportunity to be a part of something wonderful. If you can only come on Friday night, please come. If you can only come on Saturday, please come. If you can come for the whole thing, please come. You know, I'll tell you something. You'll have a whole bunch of ladies here who, if we talk to them about those that are part of our church that just don't come, the ladies would say, that's crazy. We just drove 8 hours to get here, and you live 15 minutes from the church, and you're not there? What's wrong with you? And I would wonder the same thing. Oh, now, I realize there are people that have schedule conflicts and things of that nature, but support it by attending it. Number next, be patient about some of the inconveniences that might come our way. Listen, somebody may sit in your seat. Now, if you've ever been to one of our conferences, there's a slight chance that that might happen. But let's not have a bad spirit about that. Somebody may get your parking spot. We're going to possibly use your Sunday school classroom. And things may be a little bit in disarray when you come in on Sunday morning, and it is our goal that that not happen to you. But let's not have a bad spirit about it. Let's not have a bad attitude about it. Number next, make nobody babysit you about your responsibilities. Now listen, this is a big thing and it's a massive thing. Everybody's got to do their part. You be in your place. You be there on time. Don't make anybody check up on you. Then, at the end, we want to clean up right. I think a job's not finished until it's all cleaned up and everything's put back in its place. You see, Brother Owens, I'm going to be busy all day Saturday. I can't even be here. Hey, if you show up about 3:30 or so Saturday afternoon, we're going to be putting everything back where it belongs because we have church here the next morning, and we're going to get ready for it so you could pitch in at that time. Number next, understand something. Pastors are trusting their churches to come here. That's big. That's real big. Think about it. Last year, 110 pastors said, we trust that church right there. And we're going to turn a part of our congregation over to that church. To me, that's very important. Others are learning how to host conferences by coming here. Hey, and enjoy it. Don't endure it. You're serving God. Do me a favor. I want you to pray for Mrs. Owens. I mentioned Brother Nash, but you pray for Mrs. Owens as she is the hostess of this thing. I'll tell you something about her. She's probably going to kill me after the service, but I get in trouble all the time for saying things I'm not supposed to say. By the way, did you get your any of your recipes that you needed? You got some? I got a couple in my office, so I can take care of the ribs if I need to. Mrs. Owens, she doesn't really like to get up here in front of people. I can remember when she first started speaking, I remember people asking her to speak and to give speeches to ladies. Virtually would get nervous to the point where she would throw up. She would get that nervous. The other day I asked her, I said, how you doing? She said, how do you think I'm doing? Crowds scare her. She does not prefer it. She likes being in the background. But when I came here, you had a ladies' conference, and we just took what you were already doing, and we have multiplied it. That's all we've done, and she stepped up to do it for us. But you pray for her. Now let me make a couple of comments, and I'll be done. We don't have a conference to make money off of people. We want to serve them. We will lose money at this conference. Secondly, we don't have a conference to be show-offs. That's not our goal. A conference should be sponsored in humility. We don't have a conference to have power over other churches. Listen, I have no denominational type intentions. No one owes any loyalty to this conference. None. Someone coming to or not coming to this conference does not either make them a fundamentalist or not make them a fundamentalist. I know some say, well, if you don't come to my conference, you're not a fundamentalist. Well, they're full of prunes. Show me that in the Bible. We're not trying to control some other church. I don't want to pull them away from their pastor. I don't want to pull them away from their church. I want them to go home more loyal to their pastors and more loyal to their churches. We don't have it to prove our influence. We have it so there is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit of God to influence those churches, and we do it to serve. That's the whole purpose. If we ever get to the point where our conference is for any other reason than serving people, I think we ought to just shut her down. We're not trying to get anything out of them. We're trying to give them a delightful couple of days where we serve them. They have some fun, some fellowship, some good food, and we send them home to their home churches and make their churches a better place. I hope that every pastor, and I hope that every husband or every man that's associated with the ladies that come here, I hope they say, it was worth sending my wife, it was worth sending my ladies to that conference because they came home, and our church and our home is a better place because of it. When it just becomes entertainment and we don't achieve that thing, we're failing. Why have a conference? We just don't want, I don't want to do it just because it's tradition. I want to do it because it's serving the purpose. That's our goal, and that's what we want to accomplish with the East Coast Ladies Conference. You see, back here in the story in 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah sent out letters, invited people. The Bible very clearly teaches there was humility. They had one heart. Many people gathered in one place. Everybody did what they were supposed to do, and they had revival. And that's all we want for the East Coast Ladies Conference. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.